5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is the back-to-school series, just about 3 weeks of back-to-back interviews with area educators as the school year is underway. And Superintendent Kim Kellison of the Winston-Dillard School District, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So overall, how did the start to the school year go in Winston-Dillard?
Well, we're off to a fast start. Little air quality issues there at the beginning of the school year, which was difficult to navigate, but we're well on our way.
So did you start before or after Labor Day?
We actually started on the 28th of August before Labor Day.
And remind listeners how long you've been there at the district.
I just started my second year as superintendent.
And how do you feel like the first year went?
The first year was amazing. I had, a lot of support from the community and from other educators and a lot of great teamwork and collaboration. It was a wonderful year.
Now, coming to an area, because you were from out of the area, and this wasn't your first time as superintendent, or was it?
This is my first superintendent job. Yeah, I was a director of teaching and learning previously in Dallas, Oregon.
So how different was it to come to a new place and jump up a couple of notches and be at the head of the ship?
Well, Douglas County isn't totally new to me. My dad was born and raised in Elkton and graduated from Elkton High School, so I spent a lot of time down here as a kid. So I'm pretty familiar with the area, and I feel comfortable down here and really like it here. The jump to superintendent was challenging. That's a huge task to take on, but I think I'm doing okay.
Now, people might remember it if they don't happen to be in Winston a lot of work, a big project at Douglas High School. And though I drove by there numerous times this year, I honestly don't know, is that project all finished?
Yeah, the high school is fully completed, and we've been in there for a couple of years, and it's really a beautiful building. And we do have a brand new culinary classroom this year that was completed and renovated last year as part of the old building.
So when was the project all done? Was that finished before you got there?
Yeah, it was finished before I came, yeah.
And so you don't really have anything to look back on from since you weren't there before, but what's the reaction to the staff there at Douglas versus the prior part of the school?
Yeah, I think the Douglas staff members, I think they really love the high school building. It's a really beautiful building, and it's a great place for kids to be, and I think it's a really positive experience for everyone there.
So any big changes in the district this year?
Yeah, lots of changes going on. We added a new assessment system, STAR, and we're going to use that as part of our early literacy grant to assess how students are acquiring reading skill levels, and that's an exciting product for us to have. And we've got some new curriculum on board, two new math curriculums at K-5. We've got iReady and Big Ideas at the 6-12 level, so those are both exciting updates for staff.
So you and your first year had to deal with those adoptions too.
Well, Rob Boyer handles adoptions for us, and he did a bang up job with that, and he had a great team on the math adoption team to help him implement those and choose those along with some community support as well.
And I know there's a lot of work that goes into that process. It isn't something that's done lightly.
No, it took us all year, actually. So Rob started last fall with his team, and teachers came in and looked over materials. And, we had vendors come in and give presentations. That was a huge task for the district. We opened it up for the public to look at, to get feedback from them. And it was quite a process.
Now, as you get the school year underway, how many new staff did you have to hire?
We actually had great retention from last year. We hired a few new teachers, but not a huge amount. We're hoping to, keep everyone that we have on board and keep our teachers happy and our other staff members. So hiring is really difficult right now. It's very hard to find people right now.
So do you have all your positions filled?
We're close. We've got all our teaching positions full. We're still, if you're interested in being an instructional aide, get on our website. There's some jobs on there.
So talk about the teacher staff shortage. I was reading something the other day that talked about not only the impact of the pandemic and some people exiting or retiring early when they had the option to do that, but also I understand less people are going into education through the traditional pathways.
Yeah, we have smaller groups graduating from university in the education field. And so we're actually working on a Grow Your Own program with UCC where we take students and instructional aides and actually help them get the training they need to be classroom teachers. And so that's a pretty exciting grant that UCC got, and we're really excited to be part of that program. But yeah, there's limited numbers of folks.
Any idea why that is?
I think it's a variety of things. I think teaching is hard sometimes, and I just think that it takes a special person to be in the classroom, and there's just a lot of complications.
It wasn't all that long ago before the state rules were set up differently. Periodically, somebody would notice that an instructional assistant was especially gifted and, would say, hey, you really need to think about, moving into a full-time teaching direction. But at that point, it meant shifting your life and, maybe even going out of town or weekend classes or whatever. Now it's a lot more simplified, but still not an easy process to become a teacher at the same time you're still going through all the college requirements.
Yeah, you are. That program I mentioned with UCC, they have a collaboration going with, I believe, George Fox University. And so a lot of that instruction is local here or online. And so, our staff members that are interested in that program will have an easy time accessing coursework and materials, and that'll all be local or online. So that's a really great program.
So for the district funding, how do you feel like things are set for this year?
Our enrollment's down a little bit, which concerns me a little bit, but I think we're pretty well set. We've got our budget all organized, and we've got some extra money for early literacy from House Bill 3198, and so we're going to use that to increase our reading proficiency by third grade, and so we're looking forward to having some extra money in that area to work on that project.
And of course, during the pandemic, there were special funding streams that came down. A lot of those end after this year, if they haven't already. Are you concerned about having some gaps by next year?
I'm not really concerned with that. Would be ESSER funding, which was emergency funding for the pandemic. The team that worked at the district office prior to my superintendency did a great job utilizing ESSER funds in a way that didn't earmark them for staffing so much. And so the positions we had that were funded with ESSER, we've moved back into general fund or used other funds like that early literacy fund to cover. And so I think we're in good shape with respect to ESSER.
Now you have the big project at Douglas High, but what about some of the other buildings? Are there any of the schools that are aging a bit that might be a particular concern?
Yeah, we just built a brand new district office, and we moved some of the McGovern teachers out of a modular and back into their regular building. And I think that's been a really positive step for the district. It included some renovations of their classrooms and, concrete polishing and paint and a lot of, great improvements for teachers. And we're really excited about that project.
So where did the district office land? Nearby where it was before, or?
Yeah, we're still in the parking lot with McGovern, so we still share that campus with them, which is great because we still get to see the kids at recess and have a lot of interaction with their staff. But we do have a brand new building there, and it's really a lovely place to work.
Now, was the prior building, was it pretty old?
Well, we were actually in classrooms in the McGovern Elementary building. So, yeah, that is an older building for the district. I think it was built in the 50s.
That has to be, I'm not aware of anybody doing that before. That has to be a little tricky to have administrative staff. I suppose you were cordoned off in one area, but still a little different environment.
Yeah, it was really interesting. When I came to interview, I was like, wow, we are like in the school. It has some real benefits to it, though. I got to meet a lot of great kids and a lot of staff members, and I have really good connections with the people that were in that building because of our proximity. But it was difficult when we moved because, we had to vacate that space so that we could do those improvements prior to students coming in. So that was a tight crunch.
All right, back with more in a moment. The interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com. It's Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And we continue the back-to-school series tomorrow with the new superintendent out at the South Umpqua School District, interim superintendent for this year. He'll be on tomorrow's program. Kim Kellison, or Kellison rather, of the Winston-Dillard School District in with us now. Whatever led to you getting into education to begin with?
I got into education because of my brother. My brother, I worked with him a lot when he was in high school, and I got inspired about his different way of learning and how he processed things differently. And I just really felt like all kids needed that kind of support. And sometimes he didn't get that in our school system. And so I wanted to do things better that would serve all students.
And how old were you when you knew you wanted to be in education?
I think I was about probably 15 or 16. I was in high school.
So did you ever get a ways into it and wonder if you'd made the right decision?
Well, I changed my major once to business, and then I went back to education, and I finished my bachelor's degree in education. And then, you know, my job got cut by major five, and I actually had to go out of the field of education for a while and do different work. And that was really sad and hard for me to leave education for a while.
So how many years were you out of it?
I was out about 15 years, and I did a business on my own with my mom, and we ran that together. It was really fun and successful, but I always missed teaching. And so that's when I went back in, and I think it was about 2010.
Wow. So kind of a unique pathway then.
Yeah, I ran my own business, which is very different for a superintendent. Usually they haven't ever left education. And so that, you know, that gives me some insight that other people may not have. I don't know.
And what interested you about the administrative side versus being in the classroom?
Well, I always just wanted to be a classroom teacher. I love teaching. But my first job back in the building after I went out and came back in, the first year I was in there, Pete Tawana said, "Kim, you need to be building principal." And he just started giving me principal duties. And pretty soon I was halftime curriculum director there. And so even though he was a building principal for us, principal slash superintendent.
Interesting. So talk about security. That has been a topic in schools for the last couple decades, really, but in just the last few years, a lot of work has begun to shift to doing things maybe more proactively or retrofitting buildings or whatever. Anything out in Winston-Dillard in that regard?
Yeah, we've got a huge amount of work going on in that area. We are, you know, working on fencing and vestibule doors and, you know, a key card system where teachers have a panic alert button to push if there's an issue. But there isn't a lot of funding for that in the state of Oregon. So I applied for the COPS grant this spring, and I'm still kind of waiting to hear. We're supposed to hear in September about that grant, and hopefully, you know, if we receive that grant, it will give us about $660,000 to work on those projects. But new safety response protocol, we're doing all kinds of things around safety right now.
And a lot of schools around Douglas County have, I've heard a couple different terms, I'm not sure what it's officially called, but kind of these open wings where a school will have two or three wings, and you know, you could easily get to a classroom without really supposed to, you know, being, you know, you're not supposed to be there, but you can get there pretty easily. People didn't used to worry about that, but obviously things have changed.
Yeah, we're really vigilant about that. One good thing about moving those kids back into that section of McGovern is that makes their building more secure because the kids don't have to go back and forth between the modular and the main building. And I thought that was a great benefit. But we're looking at all those perimeter issues like that and being really hyper-vigilant about, you know, keeping exterior doors locked and, you know, everyone with a badge and being really careful about how we process school.
What about your HVAC systems? We've had, you know, as you mentioned at the beginning of the school year, you had some smoke to deal with, but a lot of schools don't have air conditioning.
Yeah, our buildings are, I would say 90% of our buildings are air conditioned. We've got one building at Looking Glass that needs some air conditioning down in the gym cafeteria portion, a few things at the middle school and a few things at the alt school. But for the most part, we did mini splits and did ventilation and air conditioning with some of the ESSER funding we talked about earlier.
And, you know, one of the aspects of that, too, is not only the fact that as classrooms get too warm, you've got issues potentially with computers and things like that. But you just think about other places. A lot of people in Douglas County don't have air conditioning at home, and you think about how not fun that is certain days. And what's the impact, though, when you see kids in situations where that is kind of an obstacle? It's too warm, it's too stuffy, you can't open the outside doors. How hard is it to educate them?
Yeah, our classrooms are all air conditioned. So, I mean, we don't really have that issue in the building. And so I think trying to make our kids as comfortable as possible is really goal number one for us. And we've done a good job with that. And we're not really compromised by the heat, but we were compromised by the air quality because that's difficult to control. We've got some open breezeways and different things that are more complicated.
What about busing issues? Anything in that regard?
Well, we're trying to iron the kinks out. That's what you always do the first couple of weeks of school. We've got three new vans in the district. We're training all the coaches on driving Type 20s and Type 10s so that they can take their own athletes if they need to, if just in a pinch, if we get restricted at all with routes. We're still, hiring a few bus drivers. So if you're interested, First Student's got a couple of jobs open, and we'd love to see some applicants.
Now, for the coaches, does that require them getting a CDL?
It's not quite a CDL. They can do either a Type 10 certification or a Type 20, and those are for a smaller, more van-like unit, not as big as a regular bus.
What about as the school year begins, what's the mood of students?
I think students are excited to be back, and we've seen a lot of great activity at McGovern, at the high school, lots of sporting events, and the girls played volleyball the other night again, and that was great to watch, and they look like they're having a great time.
And what about the role of the school board as a new superintendent? Talk about what that first year was like.
Yeah, the school board is a governing agency that helps us pass policy, and they hire the superintendent. And we actually, a couple of our board members, we have a new board member, Lorna Quimby, is on board with us, and she's great. Jeremy Mitchell took over as board chair, and Bob Shigley's our vice chair now. So we've got a really good group. They're very active and very supportive of the school district.
So how would you describe their role? A lot of times, school boards seem to be given a ton of things to do.
Yeah, if you were looking at an hourglass, all the operational duties at the bottom are what the superintendent is in charge of, and all the policy-driven things at the top are what the board is in charge of, and you might meet in the middle a little bit and communicate about those two things, but operational things like hiring and terminating employees, HR, all those things are underneath the superintendent, and the board is really more about vision and policy and things like that.
So do you have some board members that have been in the community for a real long time?
Yeah, we have some people that have been in the community, I think, their whole life. Yeah.
And that sounds like it might be advantageous sometimes.
Yeah, they really understand our community. Kurt Stuckey's on our board, and he's been on for a long time. Lorna Quimby's lived in the area for a long time. We just have some real, with community longevity, Bob Shigley's lived in the community his whole life. So it's really a great group of people that really care about kids.
So it's the beginning of year two for you. You've got a chance to get used to being a superintendent, to get used to how the district runs, the buildings, a lot of the people you've gotten to know to some extent. What are some of the plans or hopes for the future, or maybe new things you'd like to bring in at some point?
Well, we're just really working on reading right now and early literacy, and we're also working on attendance. So attendance really slipped during COVID when ODE didn't require us to track attendance for a while. And so, families got used to those less strict environment, regarding attendance. But attendance is back, folks, and we are really trying to make sure kids are in buildings every day, because early literacy, it just really relies on kids getting that day-to-day instruction from their teacher.
All right. Inside Douglas County, the Back to School series, and Superintendent Kim Kellison of the Winston-Dillard School District, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside. Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.